number 063940, United States versus Four, the last case of the day. Okay.
May it please the court, Andrew McGowan again.
Hi, Mr. McGowan.
Hello. The question in this case is whether the district court's failure to establish a specific schedule for Mr. Four's fine repayments is plain error. This issue has been argued almost a year ago today in a case, United States versus Ellis, that has not been decided yet. It's a very similar issue, whether the same problem for restitution is plain error, has been argued extensively. I've been participating in at least two of them myself.
Mr. McGowan, let me ask you real quick. Your blue brief on page 18 specifically says that Four thinks the judge ordered installment payments, but the government says that you agree that the district court ordered that the $500 fine was due immediately. So is the government correct that you conceded to the judge? Which is right?
I'm sorry for any confusion, Your Honor. The court did order that it was due immediately.
Right.
However, in the judgment, the court also ordered that any payments be made through the Bureau of Prisons financial responsibility program. That's the argument here, is that when you look at the two things and you take into account days changing the whole idea of what due immediately means.
Uh-huh.
It used to mean simply in good faith makes payments. However, under day, when you've got somebody who's indigent in the first place, the due immediately, as I understand day anyway, changes to you've got to come up with a payment schedule so that the person is able to comply if he's indigent. Now, day only applies to people who are indigent, and we have an indigent client here. So the argument is not so much that the judge did order some sort of payment schedule. In fact, the argument is that he did not, and that by implication, he has imposed the ability to order a schedule of payments on the Bureau of Prisons, and later, if the fine hasn't been repaid, to the probation officer.
You started to say something about this. Another case just like this has been pending for a year?
Yes, Your Honor.
What's that?
United States versus Ellis, case number 054677. And I must say I've been expecting an opinion, not really since that argument, but...
What is it, the same? Is it the same?
Or
the
same,
pay immediately, and it's some, I guess, some, not a big amount, I presume.
I think in Ellis there was a bigger amount.
Yeah.
This may be the lowest amount.
Well, this is pretty low.
It is certainly very
and
low.
And pay immediately, it seems that... It was low because he was worried about the money for the family.
Oh, right. I'm not arguing.
And I guess, what are you trying to prove here? I guess you're trying to make a case. This is not a big case here.
No, it is not. And I will be honest with the court. I was expecting a ruling on this very issue. In fact, in the other cases, the question is whether it's plain error. And this court has ruled in United States versus Tejeda in a similar type of case, but it's for drug testing, whether on supervised release, whether this is really amounts to plain error, because a lot of these things can be modified while in Tejeda anyway. That can be modified while this person's on supervised release. The difference in this case is that the Bureau of Prisons would have control over how much is paid. Now, I'm not trying to prove anything, Your Honor. I represent people who insist on an appeal.
There's something that I'm missing here, I guess.
No, they're insisting on an appeal, and I'm in a situation where I have to either file an Anders brief or explain that there's a merit to an issue. And then this particular issue, since this court hasn't ruled, there is relatively...
All right, well, we got one out there that we got to look for.
A relative argument for it not being frivolous. And so I can't file an Anders brief while this issue is pending out there. Now, unless there are any questions, any further questions, I'd like to rely on the brief in this case.
Sure thing. Thank you, Mr. McGowan.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court and Mr. McGowan. My name is Gail Hellert, and I represent the government in this case. Fines and restitution are different, and they're governed by different statutes. I am not familiar with the Ellis case, so I'm sorry if I should be, but I'm really not familiar
with
that case.
You know, you seem to be arguing that the logic of the Day opinion doesn't apply in this case simply because the Day court was considering a restitution statute, and this court is considering a statute addressing fines.
That's right, Your Honor.
Well, but doesn't the Day opinion tell us that regardless of what an order says, what matters is whether in reality payments can be made immediately or will have to be made over time? Why would the logic of Day be any different as applied to fines?
I think that the logic of Day is applied only to restitution statutes for several reasons. One is that the Day case considered a order of restitution and not orders of fines. And the statutes that govern fines and restitutions are different for different reasons. The reasoning behind restitution is to make victims whole. The reasoning behind fines is discretionary and punishment. The wording of the fine statute is different.
But aren't the statutes nearly identical in the relevant requirement? That is, that a judge must consider the manner or method of payment and set a schedule for that payment. The restitution statute states that the judge shall specify the manner and the schedule of payments. The fine statute states that the judge shall consider the time for payment and the method of payment. How are they different in relevant part?
They are very different because restitution is mandatory to make victims whole, and fines are discretionary, and courts do not have to order them at all. Restitution has to be ordered under the sections of 3663 and 3663A, and the tension that the court was deciding in the Day case was not whether to order restitution at all, but just the method and manner of the payments so that defendants could have, you know, payment schedule installments, considering their relevant circumstances of, oh, their number of dependents or their other financial obligations or the job that they had, their earning capacity. That is very markedly different than fines. Fines don't have to be ordered at all. And for fines, if they are ordered, 3572 says they shall be payable immediately. But here, the district court didn't have to order a fine at all. In Day and all restitution cases, restitution must be ordered. There were days prior to the considerations in Day where restitution did fall more on defendants' earning capacities, et cetera, and their financial abilities. Well, anybody who works in criminal law very long knows that practically all defendants are not able to make restitution. That's highly unfair to victims. These statutes are very, very different. Restitution is very different than fines.
Well, I am having a very hard time with your argument. It's true that the two statutes are different, but they are the same in their language, obliging a district court judge to consider the economic situation of the defendants and the victims in fashioning a schedule of payments. And as the Day court concluded, if payment is going to involve installment payments, either by order or because of the realities of the defendant's economic situation, then the court has to be the one to set that schedule. And I don't understand the government's reasoning.
I am not disagreeing with the court that I read in the language of the statute, and also Mr. McGowan cites this, there's a reference in the restitution statutes to after restitution is ordered, it's to be implemented, and it refers to the fines statutes. But what it refers to is the court considering, again, those kinds of factors, the defendant's earning capacity, the defendant's job, in not making restitution, but in simply setting the payment schedule, the amount of the payments, the timing of the payments, things like that. Those things are similar. I agree with the court that those things are similar between fines and restitution statutes. If a fine payment schedule is ordered in the interest of justice, then the court falls to those same considerations. So I very much agree with the court. If a payment schedule is ordered for fines, if a payment schedule is ordered in restitution, then those certain considerations are very similar, and they do refer. But fines and restitution statutes are markedly different in that fines don't have to be ordered at all. And if they are ordered at all, then they shall be payable immediately unless in the interest of justice. And that's the plain language of 3572D, unless in the interest of justice the court makes a payment schedule. That's why those two things are different. And Day did not overrule McGee. McGee is the case that is this case. It's a case where the defendant was arguing about prison officials setting a fine payment or a payment schedule for his fines. McGee is this case, and it dealt with fines, and it dealt with prison officials setting that through the inmate financial responsibility plan. And this court's precedent said that prison officials setting the plan for payments was not inconsistent with the judge's order to be payable immediately, because payable immediately really means payment in good faith to begin immediately. The court's precedent is McGee. It is not Day. And Mr. McGowan, or Mr. Ford through Mr. McGowan, is simply trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Day is not this court's precedent for this case.
What was the amount of money involved in Day restitution? Restitution in Day, do you remember?
Do I remember the amount? Is that what the court said? I'm going to say about $3,000. It was a significantly higher amount than it is here. If that's what you mean, I don't recall the amount.
That's what I'm looking at. It wasn't a huge amount.
It was several thousand dollars.
All right.
Okay. It was something more than 500. I know that. And if there's, I don't know if there's any other questions that I'm trying to answer that the court has, but under 3572A, the district court in this case did as it was required to do. It decided first whether it was going to impose a fine. The district court decided that it would impose a nominal fine of $500 with the interest waived given Mr. Ford's other financial responsibilities to his three minor children. And then under 3572D, he was required to make the fine payment immediately by the plain language that says a person sentenced to pay a fine shall make such payment immediately. And the statute provides an exception to the immediately requirement, but that exception does not apply here because the district court did not make the exception findings in the interest of justice. Mr. Ford asserts that the district court is obligated to determine a payment schedule for this fine like it would have had for restitution, but there's simply no support for that argument by the plain language of the fine and the restitution statutes, nor by this court, and that would be contrary to this court's precedent in McGee regarding fines. Again, Mr. Ford heavily relies on this court's decision in Day, but Day dealt with restitution statutes, which discussed the necessities of a district court determining the schedule for payments and not improperly delegating the how much and the when of a payment schedule to probation or prison officials. This case is about fines and not restitution, and 3572 does not require the court to set a schedule of payments. And so when, as in this case, no schedule of payments is set in the interest of justice, then payment is due immediately. This court has stated that what that means is that the $500 fine is not an immediate payment in full, but payment to the extent that Mr. Ford can make it in good faith beginning immediately. The prison officials, said this court in McGee, may do things to ensure that Mr. Ford make good faith progress towards satisfying this court-ordered obligation. And these distinctions between fines and restitution orders make sense because restitution makes a victim whole and is mandatory, and fines are punishment and they're discretionary. And this court's decision in Day, which is a restitution case, did not even mention McGee, and it did not extend to the scenarios of discretionary fines and discretionary installments ordered under a different statute. This court's judgment was proper and should be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. McGowan?
5 minutes.
Thank you. The amount of restitution in Day was $39,875. And unless there are any other questions?
What's the amount in Ellis? Fine.
I'm sorry. You're
don't know that one.
I forgot.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing it.
All right. Case will be taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess until tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Sure.